We've been in the series, A Church Built on a Rock. And we've been talking about what it means to have a spirit-filled church. And there's a lot of ideas out there about what it means to be spirit-filled. Listen, I'm not here to tell you do it my way. But I can tell you this, that one of the things about a spirit-filled church, when you go to a church and you want to know, is God really there? This is what you should look for. Look at how the Christians treat each other. If you want to know if that church is really the kind of church that you should be a part of, that God is a part of, don't look at just the shouting. Don't look at just the singing and the preaching and all this and all that carrying on. All that's fine. It's worship. That's wonderful. But look and see if people will speak to you rather than roll their eyes at you. Look and see if people care about you. Look and see if the folk love each other. If there's unity in the body of Christ. You want to know a spirit-filled church? A spirit-filled church is one where Christians treat each other the way they ought to. It's a church where there is unity. There's no infighting. There's no cliques. There's no 3 and 4 churches in one church. Just one church. Amen?
Amen.
No drama. No power struggles. No theater. Just Jesus. And that's what we're going to preach about this morning. What it means to be a part of a spirit-filled church, a church in which people treat each other the way Christ has called us to. Turn your Bibles to Romans 15, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Amen. Romans 15, chapters 1 through 7. Hallelujah. And being united, as you turn there, does not mean we agree on everything. Amen? Being united does not mean that we see everything the same way. But being united means this, that I treat you the way Christ would treat you. Amen?
Amen.
That's all it means. If you like purple and I don't like purple, and you like pink and I don't like pink, and I like orange, if you like green, that don't matter to God. Those are called style points. We don't fight over style, do we? Amen? You like to raise your hands and give them praise. You like to fold your hands and you have blessed hope. You know what? We don't care. Ain't nobody gonna tell you. You need to stand up with everybody else. You're not, And if they tell you, you tell me so I can make sure we check that. You're free. Amen? You like praise dance, you like pantomime, you like hip hop. You know what? I'm not here to tell you what to like or don't like. As long as you're in Jesus. You're a Democrat, be a Democrat. You're a Republican, be a Republican. But before you be any of that, be a Christian. Amen. Be a Christian. Because being either of those isn't going to guarantee you that you go to heaven. But being saved will. And so it's not about all of us thinking alike. I don't think I could join a church where everybody thought like me. That would be a mess. Amen?
Amen.
Especially when it came to preaching, because they would be preaching my sermon, you know what I mean. That's not the kind of church I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a church where people wear ties and polos. I'm serious. I want to be a part of a church where people wear suit coats and people don't. I want to be a part of a church where anybody can walk off of the streets, no matter where they came from or where they've been, and can take one of these blue seats and feel as if they're home.
Amen.
They don't have to look and see if their car is good enough to be on the lot.
Amen.
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 Just trying to help. You're a part of a place where the people care about you. That's what this is all about. Amen.
Amen.
And we need a church built on the rock more now than we ever have. Amen. Romans 15, verses 1 through 7, it says these words. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches or the insults of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime or written before us were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. There are six things about unity among the saints. Number one, it's about caring for those who are weak in their faith. Two, strengthening fellow believers. Three, placing others before ourselves. Four, demonstrating patience and humility when criticized. Amen. Number five, being like-minded one toward another and embracing fellow believers unconditionally. That's what it means to have unity in the body of Christ. Now, for someone to be weak in the faith means that they just haven't gotten to a level of faith to trust God the way you have. So what Paul is saying to them is this: don't flaunt your faith in front of them, but instead be patient with them and help them and nurture them as they move along. Amen. And when it comes to that big word that I read called edification, that's just a fancy word meaning to build something. In other words, when I come to church, my goal is to make sure that you leave better than when you came here. It's not on my agenda. My agenda is you. You're my agenda. In other words, my goal is to make sure that I strengthen you and that I do whatever I can to provide you the faith, the resources, and to equip you to go out of the doors of this church onto Dunn Road and say, I'm going to make it another week. By the grace of God, I'm going to make it. Why? Because our goal is to strengthen you. It's not to judge you. Amen. It's not to get into your personal business. Amen. You mean you're not supposed to get in our finances and in our bedroom? Preacher don't belong there. What sermon have you ever heard from Jesus where he was there? Preacher don't belong there. I saw a preacher, he had his pulpit and he had a bedroom in the pulpit. Bedroom don't belong in the pulpit, the Bible does. I don't know what's going on with the church. Church is on crack. I don't know. What's wrong with the church? Church done lost its mind. Bedroom in the church. All right. Well, you're not going to find one in this church. But you'll find a Bible in this church. Because that's where the Bible belongs. It belongs in the pulpit. And the word of God needs to be declared from the pulpit. Amen. And this is what I know. If you do Bible first, bedroom and marriage and finances, that'll fall right in place. Amen. If you put the gospel first, put the Bible first, then you'll know that God will work the other things out. Amen. So now we've talked about those first two on last Sunday, but today I want to deal with the last four, the remaining four. Let's talk about placing others before ourselves. You know, Christians, sometimes we got a problem with this, don't we? But look at verse 3. Look at what it says. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. When Christ came to the earth, he came not as a king, but as a servant. Well, isn't he the king? Yes, he's the king, but he took on the role of a servant. Why did he do it? To save you and me. He had to become a servant. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it says that he became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because he came in the likeness of sinful flesh to die for your sins and my sins. Had he not been willing to leave his throne in heaven to come and see about us, you and I would be lost. So Paul is saying this: when you go to church, don't be going to church to look at what you can get. Go to church and look at what you can give. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to church for me, go to church for everybody but you. And God will take care of you too. Amen. So your goal is not to go and get your praise on, but your goal is also to build up the brother and sister who is sitting beside you. Well, Pastor, you just don't know my need. You know what? But I guarantee you there's somebody who needs more than you do. I'm about to lose my house. Honey, there are people who never had a house to lose. And as long as we magnify our problems and magnify our concerns and we all got reserved seats that we like to sit in and all this, church ain't going to grow. That's not a spirit-filled church. That's a country club church. And you don't want to be a part of that. Amen. You don't want to be a part of that. I don't even know if Jesus could be a part of that church. See, not the church where they check your check stub and then make sure they bill you. You don't want to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Well, now you want to join, you must tithe. One of my friends who's a minister went up to visit a church and they would not let him in the door. And they said, well, we only take tithers. What if I don't have a job? What if my unemployment ran out? I guess I can't join. I need a job first. The point that I'm making, and I'm talking right here in our neighborhood. This is no, I'm not talking about in Louisiana somewhere. I'm talking about right here. And I never understood what happened when the church decided it could screen members. It could filter out those who do not fit the profile of prosperity and divine favor. The God I serve says to us that when you go to church, don't just be thinking about you. Think about your neighbor as well. And make sure that if they're down, in fact, if you are going and you go to a saint and say, brother, how you doing? He said, man, I'm doing horrible. Well, don't go in and talk about you got to go into church. Meet them where they are. One of the members said to me this morning, I was going into the sanctuary to meet Brother Wardell. And I said, how you doing, honey? And I thought I heard them say, horrible. And so while the door was shutting and I'm in the sanctuary, I said, did I hear horrible? I went out of the sanctuary and said, did you say horrible? And they turned to me and said, no, I said, wonderful. I said, oh, because I thought I was about to have a counseling session because I thought you said horrible. And my brother Wardell said, you know what? When people start asking me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to see if they're going to take some time to minister to me. I'm just going to tell them how I'm feeling. You ask me, I'm tired, man. Because we got our pat answers. God is good. Blessed and highly favored. I'm all right. You know, we got all these answers. You know, tell the truth. How you doing, man? You got time? No. Email me. Jesus always had time. His motives were pure, his actions were sacrificial, and his love was genuine. How can we as Christians put other believers before ourselves? Number one, we must recognize that when our fellow Christian suffers, we all suffer. Let me say that again. When your fellow believers suffer, you suffer with them. You say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Stop trying to be a lone ranger. When your fellow believers suffer, you suffer as well. You should never tell another Christian, you made your bed, you lie in it. That is not Christianity. Yeah, they fail. I try to tell them to get off that boat. Now they broke. You need to help them with a light bill. They need to learn from that. But they need to learn that there's a Jesus who will take them back. Stop throwing people away as if they're a piece of garbage. You need to understand Jesus didn't throw you away. Well, that's what they get. They shouldn't have been doing what they do. As if you've never sinned. You got to recognize that when a Christian falls, you fall, you take a hit as well. When a preacher is caught up in scandal, you take a hit too. You say, no, your reputation. So you got to understand, we're painted with a broad brush. And you going out saying, I'm a Christian, and they just got through seeing on some television program about Pastor so-and-so who fell, and then they want to know, and what are you again? Because when we fall, all fall. Yeah, amen. Yeah. That's why we got to build each other up. We can no longer have this idea of I got mine, you get yours. That might be good for hip hop, but that's not good for the saints. I knew I'd get a reaction out of that. That's not how Christians act. Christians do everything they can. If a brother in Christ buys a new car, you go and you lay your hands on that car in Jesus' name. Your sister in Christ brings in her new Coach purse. Bless God for that. No, I ain't. And I know it's fake. And I know. See, you know, we. Bless God. Brother in Christ, get a new house and invite you over. Don't you dare get jealous. I'm still in an apartment. Do you have a roof over your head? Get them a housewarming gift. Y'all don't like this, do you? See, Christians are called to build each other up. Jealousy and envy does not belong in the church. It don't belong in the church. One of the things I love to do, and pastors will know this, I give away at Christmas and Easter to my assistant pastors. The two Sundays when the crowd is biggest. You know why? I want them to enjoy that day. A saint came up to me and said, "You're a fool. Why are you going to give the biggest Sunday of the year?" You know why? Because I'm putting others before me. I don't know the last time I preached Christmas. I've been here 10 years and Lawrence has preached more Christmases than me. No, I'm serious. Who preached Easter? We had people sitting outside. He hit a home run. No, I'm serious. He hit a home run. Why? Because it's not about me. If I fall down dead, these men got to take up the slack. It's not about being seen. It's about the word of God being preached. Hallelujah. And it's about putting other people ahead of you. See, we don't like this kind of teaching because it goes counter to the culture and dynamic of putting yourself first and pulling somebody else up. That's not how we do this. It's about putting others before you and God will pull you up. You don't need no crowd to validate you. Hallelujah. I don't need no crowd to let me know I've been called to preach. I know I've been called to preach. Somebody told me I don't belong in the pulpit. I said, "Who does?" Show me that person. If I was the pastor, I wouldn't allow you in the pulpit. Who belongs there? Who belongs in the pulpit? See how toxic we are and messed up. We just got all kinds of stuff between our ears. Nobody belongs in the pulpit. And he said back, "How you know you've been called to preach?" How many of y'all came up out of that old background? Ooh, I'm so glad I'm delivered. Listen. Ooh, I'm set free. And he looks at me like that. And I look at him right back and I said, "This is how I know I've been called to preach. Because I tried to run away and couldn't." That's how I know. See, there are folk who love, who got called and boy, they had their shoes already shined. Ready, big old print. See, It took me 5 years of running. Because I knew once I did, money would not be an issue. If I preach free, I'll preach free. I won't make a dime. I would never sell a tape. That was 30 years ago. I will not profit. I won't sell a CD. That's why I love the internet. Slap it on the internet, let the people get blessed. I wanted to be paid. God had to chase me down. And after running and running and running, he said, "You finished?" That's why I preach. Because I tried not to. See, I know what it's like. When y'all walk in here broken and messed up, you not by yourself. God chasing you. You know he's chasing you. You know he's on your case. Hey, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I know what that's like. Because when he gets you, you know it's on. You can't be running around trying to be super preacher and super this. God wants a humble man. God wants humble saints. And I wanted to be a stockbroker. I wanted to be a corporate wig or whatever. God said, you're going to be a preacher. Yeah, you're going to have to chase me. No problem. I already know where you're going. I'll be there when you get there. I'll meet you when you get there. And so we understand that now our goal is not just to carry your cross, but when another brother has a cross, you got to help him carry his cross too. As opposed to saying, you carry your own cross. No. You got to carry their cross too. Because that's what it means. And when the world looks at you carrying your brother, then they will see a Christianity that is real, something that is worth looking into. When they watch how you treat your brother who has fallen and you have caught them and you're doing everything you can to bring them back to faith, when the sinner sees it. And you ain't putting them down at the water cooler and talking about how Pastor so-and-so fell in Colorado and how Pastor so-and-so, and you talking with the sinner about how one of your brothers fell. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind talking about your mama, your daddy, and you talking about them too? The Muslim, and the Hindu, and the Buddhist, and the Jew, everyone gets it, and you join them. On YouTube, one Muslim apologist has a website, tired of the scandals. Come join us. And one minister did and said, I'm so glad I've left the Baptist church. Them no good such and such, da 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 da. I'm Muslim. Well, my friend, I'm not here to put down any other religion, but I'm here to say this. Amen. I'm going to say my say. That when it's all said and done, everybody's going to call on Jesus. Amen. I ain't going to win no argument. I'm not here to debate nobody. But in my faith, it says these words. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Let's move on. We got to move on. All right. What can I do to build my brother and sister up? Pray for them. Call them if they're missing. If they're struggling financially, assist them. Attend your men and women's fellowship at your local church. And some of y'all saying, back up on that assist part. Okay, let me back up. If you got money to help somebody with their light bill, help them. Now I can see it, sense in my spirit, the word ain't, I ain't, uh-uh. Okay, listen to me again. We must walk in love. And see, sending people to the benevolent isn't always the appropriate thing to do because they don't have time to go through a benevolent issue and bureaucracy. And you got money in your pocket. You trying to determine should you go to Red Lobster or Olive Garden and all they asked you for is enough money for a bus pass. Come on, church. Can't y'all listen? You got to figure this thing out. You think God can't assist you if you assist somebody else. If you pay somebody's bill, don't you know God is good for your bill? Well, they just come to church just to get a check. And you know what? And you will not ever get short by doing anything for Christ. They just using us, and God will deal with them. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Quit trying to make sure you don't get ripped off. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You gonna get yours back. Hallelujah. Let's look at the next point. Accept criticism with patience and humility. You want to know who got the Holy Ghost? Watch them get criticized. See how they respond. Criticism is good for saints. Let me repeat it. Criticism is good for saints. Why? It makes you pray. Why? Because you pray for yourself and the one who criticized you.
Amen.
Amen. And there are some Christians who will shout, speak in tongues, do all this other stuff, and the moment they get criticized, they leave this church and they hop across the highway and go to another church, as if they can go join a church and never be criticized. Criticism is good for fellowship because it tests the genuineness of the relationship. If everybody's happy all the time and then all of a sudden there's a problem and you break up, you were never married. We're trying to extend the honeymoon. For what? You better get real and see who's going to wash this load of clothes. Who's going to wash the dishes tonight? Find out if it's going to be a TV dinner tonight. See, that's what builds relationships. Criticism is good for Christianity because it purges the fair weather saints. And then you see who's really belongs to Blessed Hope Bible Church. Well, they got on me, but you know what? I'm going to step up my game. See, that's Holy Ghost. That ain't no, you know, all that. That's real Holy Ghost. That's genuine Holy Ghost. And there are some who walk around church, and you all know what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about, the spiritual gifts. And it's as if they have inserted criticism as a spiritual gift. What's your gift? My gift is the gift of criticism. God called me to criticize. And I'm going to exercise my criticize. That's their spiritual gift, and they're good at it. There are some folk, they know how to tear some stuff down. They go right in, and they can just boom, 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 and they can tear it down. Amen. Walk in, everybody shouting and happy, and just. Because you waiting. You know they're going to say something nasty. You know they are. Y'all having a meeting over the picnic and they walk in, you go. And then there's this critic. This is the critic that really drives me nuts. And I just have to laugh. It is the critic that waits until something is done. Then they say, it was wrong. Come on, I know I got some more witnesses. Now they was in the process. Step by step. And you ask them, now, is there anything we can do to improve this? Is there something that I can say to you that will help you understand this better? And, no, girl, go ahead. And you're looking for what we call input. You're looking for feedback. And you've got your group together and you say, now we ready to go with this? Y'all feeling good about it? Oh yeah, girl, go ahead. We ready. And when it's done, see, I knew it wasn't right from the beginning. I'm going to call pastor. This is the call I get. Now, pastor, I know you didn't like that. But I just want to say, I tried, but they just wouldn't listen. Pastor, I mean, really, for real, y'all not working with me. And you got to be careful, these saints, because they will infect you with their bitterness and their virus of resentment. And what you got to do is get vaccinated with the Holy Spirit. You got to stay vaccinated, man. Because they will infect you and they'll have you being a critic. And it's just contagious. And now, and they got you all infected. And before you know, half the church is a critic and half the church trying to praise the Lord, and you got a big old mess in the house of God. And that's not going to help build nobody. How is a sinner going to get saved by a critic? If it's not right, say it before you implement it. Y'all didn't catch that. If you see me going wrong, don't wait till I fall and go, I knew you was going wrong. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. No, no, we family. Your job is to say, and if you do that, you're going to get a Holy Ghost knot upside your head. Where are we? No, I'm serious. And people who I'm very close with in this church, I have hurt the most. As a critic, in terms of saying, this is stupid, this is dumb. But I only say it to people who I can get away with it. I know some of y'all run across the street and go all down the corner. But there are some saints, we are so close. I can get right in their face and say exactly what's on my mind. And they will take it. And they'll bring it. But that's why we're close. Because we can fight. But we're not here to win a fight. We're here to make sure I get my punches in, you get yours in, and now let's see where it lands. And where it lands, I love you still. See, there ain't no, no attitude, no grudge. Come on now. Okay, we had it out. All right, move on. Pastor bringing them dancers in the church. He done lost his mind. He this and he that. Now they done told 20 people. But they ain't talked to me. Twenty folk calling me. And I'm saying, and who said it? Well, they. Who is they? Let's go. Okay, y'all. All right. Yeah, bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to have the same mind toward one another. Look at verse 5. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what that means. It's saying this. Treat each other the way Christ would treat you if he was right here. That's what it means. Be like Jesus in your treatment of your fellow believer. It ain't saying be like-minded. It's not saying think alike. It's saying act alike. Act like Jesus would act. Would Jesus stab me in the back? Amen. Okay. See, act like Jesus would act. And understand that he is the one that judges, not me, not you. Jesus is the one. And so Paul is saying, listen, as you go through trial, may the same God who is able to keep you in the midst of your storm also grant you the power to love the one who don't love you. And see, I love those saints who say, you know what, Pastor, so-and-so don't speak to me. Speak to them. Amen. You speak first. Yes. If I look at you and you look at me like I'm a man from Mars, I will speak to you. If you don't speak, I will speak again. And I will continue to speak until you speak. Because we in church. People talk in church. Amen. See, in church, you never have the situation in the store where someone butts you in line and you get mad at them. Amen. Like our chili cook-off. Come on up here, Pastor Cedric. At our chili cook-off, come on, let me put you out here. It ain't easy being up here, is it?
No.
I just make it look easy.
Okay. All right, work it.
At our chili cook-off, we have a custom. Visitors first. Visitors go first. If you ain't ever set foot in Blessed Hope, you go first. Every now and then we'll have a member who thinks they're a visitor. And what they'll use is what we call pastor's prerogative. And we had to go and say, now, brother, don't you see me sitting down? Don't you see pastor over there sitting? Don't you see pastor? Why don't you go take your seat, man? And And what we have to understand is this. That's what Christianity is all about. Visitors go first. And if they butt you in line, don't fight and say, that's my place. You have no place. You have no place. Amen. God's going to bless you too. Just get in the back and wait. Well, that chili, they're going to eat all that. And I ain't. And maybe it's not even about chili. It's about church. Go get you some Bush's beans and do what you got to do. Listen, we just trying to have some fellowship. My chili. Lastly, embrace fellow believers unconditionally. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Nobody deserves to be in church. Let's start with that premise. They call it a presupposition, but premise is easier to work with. Listen, the blood of Jesus has made a way for us to come into the church. That's the only reason you here. That's the only reason I'm here. Therefore, there's no need to determine what I've been. If you've had a divorce, that's none of my business. Let me say that again, because there are some churches, they've got some things going on. If you've been through something, it is not your requirement to say, Pastor, I've been here. Now, if you want to and you want us to pray for you, we will do that. But it does not in any way affect your right Amen. To be a part of this church. Amen. Amen. If you broke, bring your broke self on. It's okay. You got money, whatever. We're not impressed by it. Understand, because we all the same. We're all the same. We don't preach to celebrity. We don't preach to stardom. We don't preach to wallets. We don't preach to pocketbooks. We preach the gospel. That is the only thing that's going to save anybody. That's the only means by which God is going to save. You have to understand something, saints, that when somebody walks in, it is not your job to look them up and down. It is not your job to wonder if they are your kind of folk. They ain't your kind of folk. Get used to it. That's why James had to tell the saints there, what is this you guys got going on? A rich man walk into the church and y'all put him in the front. A poor man walk into church and you tell him to sit at your feet. Where is the love of Jesus in that? When anybody walk in, I don't care if they drunk or high, you still have to represent them and know that Jesus Christ died for them. What are you, Pastor, that's just wrong. Nothing wrong. If somebody drunk comes to church, don't you know that is the Spirit of God speaking through their inebriated state? Stop what you're doing. Take them in the back and do whatever you can and make sure they get a cup of coffee, black, strong. If anybody has a place where they should feel accepted, it's here. There are no superstars in the church. There's no superstars here. What about Jesus? Don't you be religious with me. You know exactly where I'm going with this. The church was made for everyone to join. And there's no reason, you know, well, so-and-so, you know she had that baby. Ain't no man. None of your business. Now, let me say it again, because some of y'all got real, y'all got self-righteous issues. Now, I'm not advocating any particular lifestyle. You know that. But what I'm saying is everybody has a right to come into the church in as-is condition. And they shouldn't have to be interviewed by another child of God if Jesus can take you and me in our defiled and polluted condition, as messed up as we were. How much more should you and I reach out to those who need him most? The church was built for the broken. It wasn't built for the wealthy. That's why God told the church at Corinth, look at some of you. Isn't that what he told them? Look among yourself. Who's the smartest? Where's the philosopher? Where's the rap artist among? Look at your church. All y'all broke. Come on now. Isn't that what Paul said to the church at Corinth? The gospel was built for the poor. The church was built for the broken. And he goes on to say, such was some of you before you found Christ. Therefore, you become the vessel that reaches out to the broken. No one should wonder if they're good enough to talk to you. Because you're nothing and I'm nothing. You say, I am something. Well, not according to Jesus. He said these words, I'm the vine. Y'all branches. Me too. We branches. Watch this. Without me. Y'all not hearing me today. Without me. Try to preach without me. Try to play without me. Try to have a marriage without me. I dare you to be married without me. I dare you. Try to get along with saints without me. I dare you. Without me. You can do nothing. But then Paul flips it in Philippians and say, through Christ, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.